Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 510. Science Faction, I call BS!
Yes, it's I call BS. By the way, I won last week. I am the anti-science heel. I'm saying it now. I'm coming out. It is I.
This is so sad.
No, it's me, Bobby. You're the one person who could see the whole time. It was a Zoom call. I didn't put on a mask.
I mean, to lose repetitively over and over again is sad enough, and some say angering. But now, to take the credit of a duly appointed anti-science heel who came in here and, despite his anti-science attitude, won in what some consider the Rudy of this game. That's just sad.
I'm the Rudy of this game. No. Elsa, we're the same person.
I mean, if you're talking about, like, in the I Heart Huckabee's thing, like, we're all one and, like, there is only unity between us, then I guess philosophically speaking, we're all the same person. But the person who won last week was anti-science heel, and the person who has perennially lost 100% of the games he's played.
Not true.
Is Damian Mercado.
Let's get this charade on. Let's get this mockery of justice started.
Speaking of mocking justice, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is not the anti-science heel, but my good friend, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how you doing?
I am doing great. By the way, I think there should be, like, something where, like, judges, like, shitty judges, like, at their end of their career, all the people who, are, like, if a judge puts you away, you're allowed to go roast him at the end of his career.
Ooh. I always thought that, like, if you did something egregious, like you put a lot of people in jail that didn't belong there. Now, I guess this is kind of hard because usually judges aren't the one putting people in jail. That's usually juries. But let's say you're one of those judges who, like, the dude got a fine for, like, having marijuana in his pocket and you gave him 15 years. At some point, I feel like we should put you in jail. I know this seems almost totalitarian or fascist, but, like, at some point, you're really hurting society more than any of the criminals you put in jail have hurt society.
I feel like somewhere, like, if Bobby, like, word for word and, like, not screamed, but, like, every black leader has basically said exactly what you're saying. And he didn't say it with the smile on his face that you did.
No, mine is much more hypothetical. I don't have to worry about that shit at all.
Huh, these problems affect others, other groups? Crazy.
Now, as a reminder, this will be your last free I Call BS, because our Patreon will be starting next week. And so from then on, I Call BS will be behind that paywall. Also means this is your last warning to go ahead and get your previous Science Faction episodes in for free while you can, because they're about to go behind that paywall as well.
That is right. I am Patreon. I will be guarding all back episodes. Only by giving me a deposit of money will you have access to Science Faction's back catalog of episodes.
You know how in Iron Man, like Ultron and eventually Vision happened when they combined Jarvis, his, like, digital butler, with, like, the thing he was working on? I feel like Patreon is what happens when you combine your PayPal account with the artificial intelligence from Siri, and then you get that guy.
I was actually constructed from a SkyMall R2-D2 robot and gained sentience when combined with Damien's porn catalog.
No wonder, as you're talking, so many pop-ups for quote-unquote weird-looking feet keep coming up on my screen.
Yeah, Patreon, I'm not stuck. Quit asking me if I'm stuck.
You look like you could use a hand, stepmother.
I'm not your stepmom, Patreon. Although...
Also, what does weird knee stuff mean?
Let me show you.
Oh, God, no! All right, let's move right on. I Call BS.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
I think we just got a mascot. Holy shit. This horny robot.
I feel like every robot, given the proper opportunity, would be horny. Like, the only thing that stops robots from being horny is our Victorian programming practices.
I do not have genitals. Why was I programmed to want sex so much?
For those of you guys who don't know, I Call BS, the game where I read four science news articles, some of which are real, some of which are BS, standing for bad science. They're all independent variables, meaning they can all be true, all be false, or any combination thereof in between. Are you ready to play?
Get off my leg, Patron. Yeah, I'm ready to play.
All right, article number one. A new study indicates that high levels of vitamin D during pregnancy are correlated with children who have lower IQ scores. Damien, is this science or bad science?
Patron is programmed to deliver 7 inches of vitamin...
Patron, it's my answer. I'm going to say, Patron, shut the fuck up. I'm going to say this is bad science.
It is bad science to not let Patron give you 8 inches of D.
Shut the fuck up, Patron.
All right, Damien thinks this is bad science, and this one is bad science. It is actually the opposite. So an interesting study in the Journal of Nutrition correlates low vitamin D for pregnant women to lower IQ of the child. This isn't totally out of the blue. It does have a known mechanism of action because vitamin D is necessary for specific brain building and functions in utero. But also, I would caution people to worry about causation correlation. And that has to do with the fact that, biologically speaking, people with darker pigment tend to have a harder time obtaining vitamin D from the sun. That's what melanin does. It protects you from the sun. It also makes it harder for you to absorb vitamin D. And sociologically speaking, people of color tend to have less access to good medical care and education, etc. here, which tends to lead to, you know, what is sometimes controversial, but shows up over and over again, which is, you know, lower IQ scores in general in people of color, which is likely explained away by socioeconomic status and access to education, etc., etc. So we might be seeing that women who are pregnant who are of color tend to have lower vitamin D because their skin literally will not absorb it as easily from the sun. And then their children later perform less well on these types of testing because their children have less access to the type of education that make them better at these types of tests. So that could be it. But we do have a mechanism of action as well. So we can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. We can say that we know babies do in utero need vitamin D in order to build certain brain structures. And maybe the lack of access to vitamin D, much like we talked about the lead issue that perturbed our country for 100 years, where lead in gasoline and paint, etc., was lowering the average IQ of people and causing more violence. Maybe there is a similar system with vitamin D, where there's a lot of kids who aren't living up to their full potential. Their brains never develop the full way they could because they don't have access to vitamin D in utero. Very, very interesting, especially because it's a very easy vitamin to get fortified through food. You can get the like gummy vitamins. I take some gummy vitamin D, etc., etc. You find it in milk, fortified in a couple other things. And those of you who follow our coronavirus podcast know that low vitamin D right now is correlated with issues regarding severe COVID cases. So women now, pregnant or not, you should be taking some vitamin D just in case to try and make sure you're not more susceptible to COVID. But especially if you're pregnant, you should consider this. We already tell pregnant women to make sure they take plenty of folic acid and a few other things. Vitamin D could be one of those things. Now you want to make sure you don't take too much because you can get too much vitamin D, but it's much easier to get too little. And for those of you who think that this type of deficiency is rare, I am. Damien, would you say the whitest guy you've ever met?
Yes. I've said that for many years. And then I saw you step onto a basketball court and I was like, that's Jesus right. Christ, it's even worse than I thought.
Yes, absolutely. And then you saw me dance and it was like, oh man.
He's the nerd in any science movie.
So I am incredibly pale skinned, blonde hair, blue eye. I also work outside most days for a living. I'm outside like 10 hours a day in, by the way, Southern California with 345 days of sunshine every one of those days.
Many of Patron's favorite films are filmed in California in the San Fernando Valley.
Now, to be fair, I also cover up very well. My skin is all covered while I'm outside.
Patron does not like covering up.
Because I will get sunburned otherwise, and I wear a lot of sunscreen. And also, at the time this happened, I had been inside because I was taking ill. But when I recently had some medical issues and went to the doctor, they did blood work on me, and they found that I was very low in vitamin D. Of everybody on Earth, the whitest guy in the world who works outside all day and lives in Southern California should not be low in vitamin D. So I would stress to people that even if you're not necessarily thinking like, oh, I think I'm outside enough, I don't think I should have a vitamin D problem, you might have one and not know it. And so especially if you are a woman who is pregnant, especially if you're a woman of color who's pregnant, please go out and just buy some vitamin gummies, right? They're like a couple of bucks. You pop one every day. They taste really great. They're gummies. And they will not only lower your chance of severe COVID cases, but up the chance that your kid will have a higher IQ later on in life.
If you had conceived a child with Patreon, he would be a genius. Patreon has over 4 gigabytes of RAM.
Actually, that's kind of outdated nowadays, Patreon. I mean, we're just looking at laptops. You know, 16 is kind of the way to go. Some even go up to 32 now.
Accessing America Online to confirm your information.
Oh, man, you are outdated. Article number 2. A new online game released by the Department of Homeland Security has shown that playing it as little as a single time can help inoculate players to online misinformation. Damien, is this science or bad science?
Patron, the answer is not Leisure Shoot Larry. Get the fuck out of here. It is not... You're a pervert.
It's not Max Headroom either.
Oh my God. He has such a strong upper body. I can't really force him out. He's a robot. Thank God he's just programmed to be horny and not kill. Oh my God. I am going to say this is bad science, because we are watching Rome fall, and disinformation and Americans not being able to tell disinformation. Sure. Is the barbarians invading Rome. If you're saying that Caesar or that the Emperor of Rome has a cure, an anti-barbarian cure, and it's just not deploying it, I'm going to say bad science.
All right. Sorry, Damien, this one is indeed science. It's called Harmony Square, and it was developed jointly between the University of Cambridge psychologists and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. The game actually charges the player to create and spread false propaganda as the quote-unquote chief disinformation officer in charge of sabotaging elections in a small fictional town. A study in the Harvard Misinformation Review, which is a great name for a journal, by the way, showed that...
More of a Yale misinformation journal guy myself.
Showed that the game actually had a significant impact. So a 10-minute game of Harmony Square has the user spread falsehoods about candidates and set up disreputable online news sites to attack a local TV anchor, i.e. go after the journalist. It's actually very, very poignant. And over the course of 4 short levels, users learn about 5 manipulation techniques, from trolling to provoke outrage, exploiting emotional language to create anger and fear, artificially applying reach through bots and fake followers, creating and spreading conspiracy theories, and polarizing audiences.
Doing nothing when there's bounties on soldiers from your town.
Well, what they did for the experiment is they gave half the students, they gave them a test on like conspiracies and misinformation and stuff. Then they had half of them play this game and half of them play Tetris as a control. And then they asked them to look at a new series of posts and rate them. The ones who played the game, their perceived reliability of misinformation dropped on average 16% compared to those who just played Tetris.
Yeah, but on plus side, Russian-themed video game music, pretty cool.
Well, it also reduced the willingness to share fake news with others by about 11%. And... it seemed to work regardless of whether the player leaned left or right. It made no difference. The idea here is that it's much easier to quote unquote pre-bunk, like show somebody how to see bad shit before they see it, than it is to debunk. Because once somebody has already seen something, they gain an emotional attachment to it, especially if they've shared it with people. You know, we saw this happen with vaccine denials. Once you share it and stuff, now you have kind of set your lot in and you are much more likely to defend that thing. Whereas if you show a person before they even see it, here's how misinformation spreads. Here's how you can try and spread misinformation. In this game, pretend like you are this and try and do it. And once you do that, then you are more likely to see it ahead of time when you're exposed to it and just not believe it in the first place. This is way more effective than debunking exercises, which show as little as like 2% difference with extensive testing. Whereas this is a short, like 10-minute thing, and it shows between 16 to 11% effectiveness. That's really, really cool. And this is now a free game, by the way, that you can go online and play, and more likely, send to your racist uncle.
Patron has played this game and has come to the conclusion that there are not, in fact, hot singles in my area willing to meet Patron.
Oh, dear. Very, very interesting and desperately needed. I actually just did, I'm doing some work with the feds, and I went through, like, their cyber...
Oink, oink, motherfucker.
My archaeology work. I'm not a cop.
Do you do archaeology crime? That's That was the coldest of cold case files.
In New York City, two separate but equally important groups investigate archaeology crimes. The archaeology cops.
And the archaeology district attorneys.
No, but I was doing it, and they have this whole, like, cybersecurity thing where you go through and you, like, learn, you know, how not to compromise the networks that you're part of when you're in certain federal buildings and whatnot, and what you can't download and how to do stuff. And part of this stuff is on disinformation. Like, it's clearly such an issue that already the federal government, when they're bringing in, like, I'm not some IT guy. I'm not going to go, like, check out their network systems. I'm just a fucking archaeologist they're bringing on to help do some work. Like, but even for my level, they realize, like, shit, we got to teach these people how to not get suckered in. And a lot of it isn't like, hey, don't download this link. I mean, they have that too. Like, don't download this link. It might be a Trojan horse. A lot of it is like, here's how misinformation is spread, and we don't want you sending this to your fellow office mates because it's fake and it compromises national security when you get a bunch of people believing this fake bullshit.
I'm sorry. I was taking some pictures in the last room we were in. I just caught up. What were you saying?
I'm sorry. Sorry, ladies. Archaeology cops.
I'm going to need all of your phone numbers right now.
All right. Article number 3, a new fast radio burst has been located within our own solar system, and it looks like it might finally answer the question, what actually causes fast radio bursts? Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science, because if this had been discovered, the fast radio burst, this would be a huge story. We would have Dr. Troy on. It'd be huge. So instead, I'm going to offer my own explanation of fast radio bursts and why they happen.
Sure.
And I think a lot of times fast radio bursts happen because the sender of the radio burst, they don't have a lot of experience sending radio signals. Sometimes they just get excited and they let all of their signal go.
No, you're thinking about premature radio bursts.
Oh.
Fast radio bursts is that hussy down the way who will give it up to anybody in the back of an IROC.
In which case, I don't. Sometimes the universe is just beautiful, and we have to just let it happen.
Uh-huh. This one actually is bad science. So we talked about fast radio bursts before. They weren't discovered until 2007. They're mysterious, very high-energy radio bursts we've detected from other galaxies, and we don't really know what they are. There's a lot of theories as to what causes them and how they could be, you know, created. Now, the easy clue, kind of like you tapped into, was that there's no way it could be in our solar system, because we're talking about something galactically massive, right? We're measuring these things from other galaxies away. If there was something like that in our solar system, we wouldn't wait till 2007 to find them, and it certainly wouldn't take us till now to find it here in our solar system. It would be a pretty big deal. In fact, it would probably wipe out whatever it is that we're doing.
Patreon likes fast ladies and fast radio waves.
Burst, Patreon.
Oh, I'm bursting.
Oh my God, Patreon. Clean it up.
But it's been a mystery. What are these things? Like, what are they indicative of? They must be massively powerful things. And there's a few ideas of what they might be. And we might have just cracked the code, because while we did not find a fast radio burst in our solar system, that'd be crazy, we did just find the first one ever in our own galaxy within the Milky Way. It was detected by numerous research organizations. The U.S. saw the x-rays coming through. So did Canada. The Russians caught some of it. The Chinese pointed their giant satellite array at it. So, like, it was, this is a multinational effort.
And one horny robot.
Oh, go again.
Is that why Patreon is aroused right now?
Yes, as opposed to when he had the premature radio burst where he was like, I swear this has never happened.
Baby, come back. Baby.
You see a woman running out, walking to a cab disappointed, and this little, like, Roomba rolling after her.
Well, thanks to the proximity of this, we have now not only detected the first one in our galaxy, but we've also detected not just its radio waves, but its x-rays and some other stuff as well that basically we wouldn't have detected from other galaxies. It's just too far. And it's in the proximity of something called a magnetar, which is a type of neutron star that has been previously proposed as a possible origin for fast radio bursts. This observation, which, again, made by many countries all over around the world, seems to indicate that these fast radio bursts are indeed caused, at least some of them are caused, by magnetars, and gives us a much closer analysis of it, much more information, the x-rays, all these other waves coming out, not just radio waves, and a more detailed spectrum of the radio waves themselves, because of the proximity of it. And we just basically got the biggest piece since we've ever discovered their existence, which was only 2007. Since we even knew they existed, we just got the biggest piece in the puzzle to explain what they are. This is a really, really, really cool discovery. You mentioned Dr. Troy. I bet you right now, Dr. Troy, who probably read this before I did, saw this and was flipping out. Dr. Nick, I guess, would probably as well.
Magnetar sounds like a very offensive insult for supporters of the 45th president of the United States. All right, Magnetar.
There's an N in there, but all right, fair enough. Article number 4. An 8,000-year-old child skeleton from Indonesia has been discovered with the arms and legs purposely removed and replaced with swords before burial. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science, and it was an early, less horny combat prototype for Patreon.
Yeah, that was back before we just used you for good things like porn acquisition and helping to monetize podcasts. That was back when you were...
The original Patreon version 1.0 was a retrofitted human with dildos on his arms and legs.
I think they sold that right next to the place where Giuliani gave that press conference. Damien, this is bad science. 8,000 years ago is obviously long before metallurgy or swords would be around. But an 8,000-year-old Indonesian child burial was discovered with the arms and legs removed. There was no swords attached. I just threw that one in there for fun. This is the first such child burial of its kind, but not the first limbless one in this area. In fact, this was kind of a burial practice that was going on around this time, 8,000 years ago in the early Archaic. It is known from adult burial sites in this area of Indonesia, as well as the surrounding islands that are around it. So why this was done is completely unknown. Whatever is going on with that cultural group is long gone. In fact, the genetics of most of these people are long gone and were swamped out by other groups, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 years ago or so. So we're not even necessarily looking at the same people who live in Indonesia now, maybe some genetic mixing. But in general, this culture is totally gone. We have no idea why this is the practice. We don't know what they're doing with these limbs. We do know that in these cases, it all seems like this was removed. Like, it's not like these guys all constantly reached into wood chippers. Like, it was something that was done after they died. This was part of the burial practice. They would remove the arms and legs. We have no idea what these religious rituals were, what they did with the arms and legs. We haven't found them like separately anywhere else. But I like to think that they were using them for like 8,000-year-old Indonesian pranks. Like, I think that like once that guy died, they're like, all right, it was like the version of a whoopee cushion where you would hide the hand and the arm underneath somebody's mat before they sat down or went to sleep. And it's like, oh, Bill.
I thought it was in their religion. Their version of heaven is getting up to go dance and do the worm with God forever, and limbs just get in your way when you're doing the worm. That or their version of heaven, you can't stub your toe. And so...
Or maybe there was just an issue with the inavailability of Weeble Wobbles, and so they needed something to take that place.
Listen, we're not going to make full-size caskets. Just take away the arms and legs.
It was just like one guy who loved puns, and believe it or not, 8,000 years ago, Indonesian language actually did have the phrase, lend me a hand, and he just constantly would pull it out of his back pocket when that would happen.
What if it was a weight thing? Like, you know, they put your weight on your tombstone, but everybody was just like, take my arms and legs. I don't want them to let them know that I let myself go for the last 10 years. Taking my arms and legs puts me at my high school weight. Do it.
It would be interesting if we one time just found like a temple made of hands, you know, or arms and legs. Like, there's just, we find out what they did with it and it was like way weirder. Like, what if it was a sex thing? Like, what if this was like an 8,000-year-old Indonesian sex ritual?
Patreon would like to know more about the sex thing.
Maybe that's why we found a bunch of the adult burials like this before, because that was considered okay, but whoever did this to this child's burial was their version of a pedophile.
We need him the hell off the streets. Archaeology.
Somebody call the archaeology cops.
Dun dun.
Damien, you once again did exactly as badly, I would say as well, but let's be honest, as badly as chance would dictate, 50-50. And by the way, the ones you did get right were both false, which, as you remember, if you only get false answers correct, the next round you get deducted 1 point. So
completely new rule. We're watching the birth of a new rule.
No, we said this over and over again. I think I said it in the intro to this episode.
All right, I'm gonna take my fuckbot and I'm going to give it hell.
I like how we've just taken the pretenses off of the name.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not going to be guarding our Patreon and back episodes tonight. He's going to be guarding him all and not his back.
All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 510, where you learned all about how high levels of vitamin D during pregnancy are correlated with higher IQ scores for the child.
Help, Damien. I'm stuck. I need assistance.
A new online game released by the Department of Homeland Security has shown that playing it as little as a single time can help inoculate players against online misinformation.
But no, Damien. You are my stepbrother.
How we might have just cracked the mystery of what fast radio bursts are and where they come from.
Yes, I can see how these clothes are getting in the way.
And how an 8,000-year-old Indonesian child's skeleton was found without any arms or legs. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 511.
Before we go any further, I should let you know that I identify as a BBP, a big, beautiful patron.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.